Welcome to Deft Decisions in Chaotic Conditions, How Experts Create Order from Turmoil, the thought-provoking series on how to set, align, and implement priorities. Here's the host of our show, management consultant, speaker, educator, and president of Business Alignment Strategies, Pat Lynch.
Welcome. I am Pat Lynch. I have as my guest today Monica Myhill. Monica has a CMP, CRP, and over 12 years of experience in developing, marketing, managing, and evaluating training programs and conferences in North America and Europe. In 2007, she contributed as a co-editor and case study author to Providing the Value of Meetings, How and Why to Measure ROI, which was a groundbreaking compilation of evaluation and ROI case studies published by Meeting Professionals International and the ROI Institute. Welcome, Monica.
Pat?
Before we begin, I just wanted to say the purpose of this interview is for us to get some insights into how you set priorities, ensure they're aligned with those of an organization, and then implement them. So let me ask you first, Monica, in what types of situation do you find yourself setting priorities? I know you've been in many different ones, so wherever you'd like to start, please.
Sure. And to me, to set priorities, I have to do it for my own time management. I've had to set priorities for my own department that's responsible for planning training programs and meetings and events. I often have to help others set priorities as well.
So where would you begin? Let's say, and if you'd like to use examples, that would be fine. How you have a project. Let's say you're planning a meeting. Where do you begin to, you know, kind of organize and say, in what order must we do these things?
Well, my preference is to start with the sponsoring organization, the organization that's putting on the meeting or event. What is their mission statement? What is their vision? Oftentimes, organizations will have strategic plans that their board of directors, their senior leadership team has put together. It might be a one-year strategic plan. It might be 3 to 5 years. And oftentimes, the main priorities or projects for the association can be found in those types of documents.
Okay.
And then the staff is then given the responsibility to carry out those projects and implement them.
Okay.
So that's where I like to start. But for specific meetings and events, I like to create and have others help me create a list of the objectives of the meeting. And that can range from everything from we have to have 500 attendees, pay a registration fee of $1,000. Or it could be more specific to how the attendees will react to the meeting itself or the sessions or the speakers. It might go on to indicate what we would like for the attendees to learn from the meeting or mm-hmm. if we want them to acquire contacts. It could go beyond that to how we then want people to perform differently back in the workplace or what sort of business measures they will impact back in the workplace.
Do you find that in your experience when you go into a situation like that, that your client organizations typically know what the objectives are, or do you really have to help them with that?
Most of the time they don't know. They just go from, they repeat the same program year after year, and they don't have very clearly defined objectives. Oftentimes I have to help them or prompt them. Sometimes it makes the organization take a fresh look at the program, and it kind of makes them reevaluate, should we even be doing this?
Okay. And so I'm just wondering if, have you ever been in a situation in which you're helping, really coaching them along in terms of what are the objectives, what outcomes would you like from this meeting, and they're kind of like kids in a candy store, and they say, oh, yes, this, this, and this, and this. How would you help them, you know, if let's say they've picked four things and they can do two, how might you help them decide which two would best suit their needs?
Well, it goes back to, are there strategic objectives for the organization that have been created? How do those objectives for the meeting or event tie to those strategic objectives? Basically, what's going to give them the biggest bang for their buck, which all goes back to return on investment? I feel like those things are the best things to utilize to drive what objectives or what two things out of four should they pick and you know, make as the priority.
Now, I'm wondering if you could talk maybe a little bit, because you're also an expert in measuring ROI, return on investment, and I'm, you know, when you said you, that's one of the criteria that you might use for this. So could you say a little bit more about that process for people who may not quite understand what the relationship could be and how you might use that information to help you set priorities?
Meaning the return on investment process?
Yes.
I have been trained and utilized the ROI and evaluation methodology that was created by Jack Phillips back in the 1970s. He has his own organization where he conducts lots of training. But basically it's broken down into five different levels. At level one, you have just reaction, satisfaction of the participants. Two is learning. Three is changing behavior, how the learning was applied on the job. Fourth is the impact of business measures. And then the fifth would be a return on investment. It is a very complicated process, but the key element is setting those objectives from the start,
mm-hmm.
and those objectives in those various five levels help you to determine what does success look like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key component of actually then planning the training program and the meeting to make sure you are trying to address all those objectives you've created. And then when the program is over, you use those same objectives to figure out, did you achieve them?
Okay.
Is that what you were asking
yes.
for?
Yes, okay. Exactly, because I was thinking that this process, and as you laid it out, these five levels, could actually help people decide what their criteria must be. If they say, for example, we're interested in level three in making sure that people's behaviors change after this program, then that would really help you focus on what the objectives for the meeting should be and thus the priorities.
Definitely, yes.
Okay. Now, it sounds like ROI is one tool or one method. Do you use or have you used any other particular methods, or are you looking at this more of a process, more of the setting priorities as a process?
I think of it as a process. I wouldn't say I use anything fancy, but once a project has been determined and the date, for example, of a conference, you know the date, you know how many, where it's going to be, perhaps, you know how many attendees would be coming. The first thing I like to do after the objectives are created is then create a timeline, and that timeline has everything from what are all the tasks, the steps, what are the deadlines for each individual step, and who's going to complete that.
Mm-hmm.
Another key thing that I have used to help the process move along is regularly scheduled department meetings or team meetings so that everybody can feel part of the process, and you can sort of check with different people, how is that task going, do you need any help, how is the delay of this deadline then going to impact something else. So I'm a big proponent of timelines and the project management of it. I haven't used Microsoft Project,
mm-hmm.
But for many people, Microsoft Excel can do some of the same things, keeping it in an organized spreadsheet format.
Okay. So let's see. How do you then make sure throughout any project, once you have established the priorities for this, and let's say it's a large event of some sort, how do you make sure that the priorities are aligned with the organization? Let's say it does have a strategic plan, that you really keep people on task and on focus and make sure that you're always, you know, headed in the same direction there.
Well, I think that's where those regularly scheduled meetings may be there, you know, every other week or closer to a conference, you have them, you know, once a week at a set time, and everybody's bringing to the meeting, you know, what have they accomplished, what are they still working on, what are they having trouble with, so that everyone can agree on what are the priorities and come together as a team to make it, the program successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have found to be most helpful. Sometimes you have to go to individuals directly and sort of say, you know, can I help you with something? Are you struggling? What can we do together? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So what happens when you're, let's say you're in one of these meetings and because of, you know, whatever circumstances, things are not going as planned. And, you know, maybe there aren't as many resources, maybe, you know, the timeline's been moved up, whatever it might be. How do you know when, for example, it's time to change the priorities, or should you, or how would you work through something like that if it becomes clear that the current plan is not working?
Okay. Well, you have to talk to your teammates. You have to start there. If they can't come to a conclusion, then you sometimes have to take it to the senior leadership and have them help with the direction. Maybe it's not a decision that the planning team feels comfortable with making, and because it's going to impact the attendees or the association's membership or something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need that direction and support from leadership.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you find yourself having to help people come up with these, higher level, you know, if you go up there and help them set the priorities as well?
Meaning when you go to leadership, do they need help sometimes?
Yes.
Oh, definitely. You know, I've had leaders that don't really have any answer for you, and they just sort of go with, well, what do you recommend? And, then, you know, I'll spit something out.
Mm-hmm.
Other times they may have information that they hadn't shared with me or information that they know of something that just got discussed at a board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Or some impacts that are going to be coming to the budget or the staffing that might help make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Any of those things definitely would change the priorities.
Yes.
Okay. Let me pose a little bit different scenario. Suppose that you have an organization you're working with to plan a large event. They do not have a strategic plan. Maybe you've helped them set some objectives, and then say your funding is cut by a third. And so things have to change. How might you, just in general, not, you know, unless you've got a specific example, but just in general, how might you approach the, you know, reviewing or readjusting or resetting the priorities?
Well, again, I really like to do it as a team approach, because I think good ideas can come from anyone. I personally like to set meetings with the team in advance, send out an agenda, say, this is what we're going to talk about. Please come prepared with your ideas and thoughts. I like to take time to formulate my own ideas and thoughts before the meeting so that when I come to the meeting, I'm very prepared, so that I have my own ideas, but yet I'm looking for others from the planning team members of how we might approach. Now we only have 20 attendees registered for this upcoming conference. We've budgeted for 50. What do we need to do now to maybe make cuts to food and beverage costs or whatever it might be?
Mm-hmm.
Can the meeting still be held with only 20 attendees? Will the hotel attrition fees be more of an expense to the organization than just outright canceling the meeting?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to look at the financial numbers of some decisions to see, you know, what's going to be the least cost to the association.
Okay. Now, you've said a couple of times that you favor an approach in which everyone can be heard.
Yes.
Do you see, well, let me ask you this, especially when you take that approach, and so you've got multiple people, maybe from different areas, how do you help them reach consensus, or do you use the consensus process in order to set priorities? And let's say maybe you're working with an association which represents different organizations that send representatives, and maybe they have little different ideas about how things should go or what we should do. Have you faced that situation before?
I have been in situations where people have not necessarily agreed, but as the group sort of talks through a problem or a challenge, mm-hmm. oftentimes the best or only solution sort of comes out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I am aware of processes, nominal group techniques mm-hmm. that can be used. I haven't used them myself, but I know that they would be available if need be.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those planning teams feel like, you know, as I said before, other input has to come from leadership maybe that isn't in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've been faced with these challenges, it just seems like in the end, once you've thought through everything rationally and analytically, there often is only one best answer.
Okay. So communication really is key.
I think it is.
Okay.
I'm not the one that's necessarily in favor of just because I'm a head of the department, I'm going to make all the decisions.
Okay. And so kind of I think this is a related question, and that is, as communication media have changed, especially over the last few years, and there are more technology-driven ways of having people communicate, do you see or have you seen any differences in the ability of people to come together, whether it's physically or, you know, virtually, if you will? Is the process any different? Do you have any feel for that?
I still think for the majority of people it's important to get everybody together at once, whether that's, you know, half the team in a meeting room together, and then the other half of the team on the phone through a conference call.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's okay. I've experienced some associations recently that aren't so open to that virtual work environment, which is interesting. I think as long as all the team members are a functioning team, they're responsible, they're committed, it can go smoothly whether everyone's remote or everyone's in the same office.
Okay. Okay. Now, especially when you have large events, you have to make sure that these priorities are implemented. And I think, you know, my experience has been that oftentimes we set priorities, we make sure they're aligned, and then nothing happens. But when you're planning a large event, you know the event is going to happen.
Right, right.
So I'm wondering if you have some suggestions or tips that would help people implement priorities once they've been established.
It all goes back to my timeline that sort of listed out all the tasks and who's responsible for it and when is that deadline for that task. And it's just, you know, getting your checking it each task off to see where you are and constantly going back to that timeline and saying, okay, so what's behind? What are we okay on? You know, what does our focus need to be in today, this week, this month, to make sure that event is successful?
I think one of the, one of the issues, and certainly I've seen this with organizations, is that they may even, you know, have timelines or action plans with dates. What I don't see as often is some form of accountability. So can you speak to this issue of accountability and, maybe what happens or what people might do? And I'm thinking, you know, more broadly, suppose that we have this and really what has to happen? Who has got to be accountable to, you know,
how do you keep everyone accountable?
Yes, thank you.
Well, I think going back to my timeline, once you establish whose responsibility it is at the beginning of the project to get a certain task completed, then that's shared with the whole group. So everyone sees that my name is next to certain projects. But in the past when I've headed up planning teams and you see that someone maybe isn't fulfilling their share of the work, I find it helpful to go to them and sort of say, you know, do you need help? Could I help? What's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is something preventing you from fulfilling this task? Would it be helpful if I talk to your supervisor or whatever so that mm-hmm. you can be given more time to focus on this priority? I don't necessarily like to take the approach of accusing them of not doing their job, mm-hmm. but more taking the approach of how can we solve this together? Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you have to get their supervisor involved. Sometimes you might have to get the HR department involved. Hopefully it doesn't get to that.
Mm-hmm.
I find, you know, usually if you set those priorities in advance, everyone agrees to them, that gave them the opportunity to say, whoa, there's no way I can accomplish all this, or mm-hmm. I know that I have another big project at the same time, this is going to be due. So it gives them a chance at the beginning to really speak up.
Right. And I think it is, I think you brought up another important point, and that is how we approach people really is important, especially when we're trying to reach consensus or encourage people to speak up. And that is, if you speak with them at more, as you said, how can we resolve this issue, or how can I help you, as opposed to saying, how come you didn't do this?
Right.
So I think that's I think is pretty important.
I have found that it's worked a little bit easier.
Okay.
Because early in my career, I would take the approach of, you haven't done this, why not? But it didn't really work so well.
So hindsight is a great thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Before I go on to the next question, I just wanted to ask, you've talked several times about timelines, and I'm wondering if there is a particular format or maybe way that you communicate the timeline on an ongoing basis so that everybody's kind of plugged in and everybody knows what's going on, as opposed to saying, yes, we have a timeline and, you know, Monica's the one who's keeping it, so if you want to know something, you know, go to her. Is there a particular process or, you know, tool or methodology that you use specifically for your timeline?
Yes, I think it's essential that anyone and everyone has access to that timeline anytime they need to see it,
mm-hmm.
so that everyone's responsible for going in and putting the check marks to the task next to their name. So in many organizations, you have what's called a shared drive. It's where you would deposit documents so that anyone and everyone can see them, and maybe certain people have editing privileges, maybe some people only have viewing privileges, so that it's not a secretive document. It's not something, Monica's the only one that has that, and
mm-hmm.
not sure how, what's on it or any of that. It really has to have that open communication again.
Okay. I like the idea that people are responsible for going in and updating their own pieces.
Yeah.
That just seems to me that it encourages more of a sense of ownership than a process in which, say, they call you and say, Monica, I've done this and this and this, you know, and then you go in and you update the timeline.
Right, and, you know, it's more time effective, too, so that I don't have to then go and make those changes. Other people can be responsible for their areas.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you, given your perspective, because I know you have multiple, on setting priorities and aligning them, do you have any suggestions? These can be things in general or specifically about how the processes that have worked for you might be of use to people in organizations that these days have experienced, you know, budget cuts, furloughs, layoffs.
What activities or programs will produce the biggest return on investment for the organization? Hopefully these are aligned with the strategic objectives of the organization. Not always.
Right.
And then you have to focus on those. For many nonprofits, the biggest return on investment could be from which program, meeting, or event is going to produce the biggest revenue for the association.
Mm-hmm.
So that's comparing the expenses, staffing costs, to what actual revenues are obtained from the attendees registering and paying a registration fee.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's not the best way to go about it, though. But I think it all goes to what's the strategic direction of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just to create goodwill or to train members of the organization on a specific skill, It all varies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes those benefits are more intangible, and you're not going to see a positive return on investment on certain projects. For some organizations, that's okay. For others, it's not. That means that program's going to be canceled.
Right, right. And I think, too, it also almost forces organizations to go back, and if they do not have any strategic objectives, to identify some, or if they have them, to go back and either reaffirm that those are still good or perhaps make some changes.
Yes, I think that's essential. Or how does any organization know where they're headed or going? Or
well, that's a great question, and yet how many organizations have you seen that really don't have strategic objectives?
I've worked with quite a few that have. Maybe they weren't kept as up to date as maybe they should be, or maybe they should be reviewed more regularly than I saw them reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to be careful when you set a strategic plan that's for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Some leadership group is regularly reviewing them to make sure that they still fit the economy, still fit the target audience, all that.
Which just brings up a question related to that. Do you see a difference, or how would you advise people in setting priorities in terms of balancing, if that's the correct word, between short-term objectives and long-term objectives? And I'm thinking now specifically, and this is probably an unfair question because, you know, it's still kind of on task, but may take you out of your zone here, especially when things are not going well or in these times now when the economy is not great, we tend to, it seems to me, look at more short-term fixes and maybe ignore or at least for the moment, the long-term ones. And I'm wondering if there is a way that you might suggest, possibly, I'm not saying you know, have to have done it, but a way of balancing that so that people are not so focused on the short term that they're really, you know, cutting themselves off in the future.
I think many organizations, both for-profit and non-profit, struggle with that because some of the short-term priorities consume so much time. I think those directives really need to be set from the leadership of the organization and then conveyed oftentimes to the staff. I mean, I think staff need to have a say in it, but if there's differing opinions among the staff of what should be the direction, there's some leadership that needs to say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and these are the priorities. Now, that's a challenging task for that leadership. But sometimes in balancing the short-term and the long-term, they've got to take into consideration what resources do they have, what staffing,
mm-hmm.
how much money. And there's got to be cuts in probably both areas.
Mm-hmm.
So an organization might have been providing this service that a large percentage of their target audience was finding beneficial, but if they get cuts to staffing and resources, that they might have to cut that.
Right.
And it's hard choices and hard decisions, but you have to be careful not to burn out the staff, and that's hard. I don't know if I really have a solution.
No, I would, you know, I mean, if, Monica, truly, if you had a solution, you could retire tomorrow.
That would be great.
Yes, yes. What I do think, and I'm thinking, for example, of situations that people face now, and that is, you know, because of furloughs, maybe early retirements, layoffs, there are fewer people around. If you don't treat your people well now, then as soon as other opportunity, you know, the economy turns up, there are other opportunities, those folks are out of there.
I think that's definitely going to happen after what we're seeing right now in the current economy. When it does get better, we're going to see a lot of that, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that goes, I think, to the balancing between the short-term and the long-term, which is tough. It really is tough. All right, how do you know whether your priority-setting process is working or how well it's working, and how do you know when it's time to change it or maybe revisit your existing priorities?
Well, I think that goes back to, for example, if it's with a meeting or event, it goes back to those objectives. So once the meeting or event is over, you've done the evaluation, and you find out how successful you were, that tells you how you were on your priorities. If certain areas fall short of what you had set as success measures, you know that the next time around, maybe those areas need to be higher priorities. Maybe you've been successful in one certain area for many years, and maybe you can just keep repeating that, and you don't have to be innovative, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you spend your energy in other areas. I think the whole evaluation process can point out programs, projects, and such that maybe weren't as successful as you had envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that gives you opportunity to eliminate those programs that weren't so successful, or put more time and energy into the ones that were successful.
Right.
And it allows you to evaluate all your projects.
So I think you're making I think it's a very important point, in that essentially there has to be a feedback loop after the implementation back to the setting of priorities, so you can evaluate these
yeah.
are the things we said, and now let's find out how well we actually did.
Yes. And through that evaluation process, you can often figure out maybe some things that went wrong and what you could do differently next time.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever find that people are afraid to find out how well they did?
I think oftentimes, I think in the whole meetings industry, most organizations that put on these training programs and events don't put a lot of effort into the evaluation of the program. And they're just glad that it's over. Now we can have a little bit of a break before the next one starts up. And they don't take as much time as they should to review the evaluation data or the open-ended comments on evaluation surveys or from getting that feedback from the participants.
Mm-hmm.
They're just glad that it's over. And maybe the bottom line number shows that they made a profit, but they're not truly evaluating it, the success of it.
Right, and especially those intangibles that you mentioned earlier.
True, yes.
You know, I think, to me, you really have to sit back and say, what exactly happened here? Were there any intangibles? Did we get those things that we really needed and wanted? And oftentimes, you
yep.
just, you know, those things may not be immediately evident. You have to kind of look and see.
But with that said, it all goes back to what objectives were set for the program or project at the beginning. Because if you don't set those before the meeting,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you don't even know what to measure or what success looks like.
Exactly. Exactly. Great. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about setting, aligning, or implementing priorities?
It's not necessarily a glamorous topic. It's a topic a lot of people go, oh, gosh, I'm so sick of this. I just need to get my work done. I know a lot of people struggle with going to strategic planning meetings. They're so important, though.
Yeah.
And they're essential, especially in this economy in these days, because we're being forced to do more and more with less.
Yeah.
That if you want to have happy and productive employees, and an organization that's going to be sustainable, you just have to.
Yes. Yeah, I think, planning really is critical. And as you say, I think that more and more people are beginning to see that. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Monica, for sharing your expertise with us.
Well, thanks for asking.
Certainly. We've been talking today with Monica Myhill. She is an expert meeting planner and program evaluator extraordinaire, among other things. To all of you listening, thank you for being with us. I wish you all the best in setting, aligning, and implementing your priorities. I'm Pat Lynch. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Deft Decisions in Chaotic Conditions, How Experts Create Order from Turmoil. Brought to you by Business Alignment Strategies. If you would like to learn how you can ensure that your organization's people, programs, and processes are aligned with its goals, contact us at www.businessalignmentstrategies.com.